Welcome home, neighbors. This is Lincoln from Michigan. My family owns at Grand Californian, and you're listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 87 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at DVCResaleMarket.com. They are the world's leader in DVC resales. Just moments before recording the intro to this show, I happened to talk with Andy Berry, and things are booming over there. They've got people wanting to list contracts galore, but the interesting thing is they've got buyers galore right now as well. One thing is certain, if you're looking to buy or sell, you can get that great Disney-level experience at DVC Resale Market because every single one of their guides is a former direct guide. Moving on to today's show, we're now moving into our fourth and final core episode of our Alani series. We're talking about going off-property at Alani and all the great things there are to do on the island of Oahu that you might want to consider when you're planning your Alani vacation. In today's show, I forgot to ask Steve about his background in the pre-show. And just so you know, he's an Alani owner, his parents live on the island of Oahu, and he flies there regularly for work as a pilot. Given this awesome background, we're really fortunate to have Steve from DCL Podcast join the show and share so much information about it. Let's jump into today's show. Aloha, everybody, and welcome to the Alani Off-Property Show. I would like to welcome back to the podcast, Steve Creasy. How you doing today, Steve?
Mahalo, Chad. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be here.
It's a pleasure, my friend. When I look through my list of people who I knew had a ton of Alani and Hawaii experience, you popped up to the top because I know you're an Alani owner, and then you go there quite often for work, right?
Yeah, I work for the airlines, and so I have usually once or every other month I'm over in Hawaii in one of the islands, so I love going over there. It's an amazing place to be.
I don't know what I'd do if I had like a work trip to Hawaii every other month. That'd just be awesome. I guess hashtag airline perks, right?
Exactly. 24 hours off in the islands isn't too bad, especially when you're by yourself sometimes. You can do whatever you want.
Sounds like you're going to be bringing a lot of knowledge and practical experience to the show. And I'd also like to welcome Ken Booth to the podcast.
Hey, aloha, Chad. How's it, Bretas? That's a little local flavor for you.
Oh, that's awesome, Ken. And tell the audience a little bit about your background.
We moved to the island of Maui about 6 years ago from Omaha, Nebraska. So we've lived here on Maui. I've been over to Oahu several times. So I'm more of an expert on Maui and a lot of the things to do here and just some of the touristy things to do over on Oahu. I'm also the developer for the MyDVC Points app.
Yeah, that's right. So I know we've had you on the live as a regular co-host. I don't think we've had you on the podcast yet, have we?
No, this is my first time on the podcast.
And just so everybody knows, by the time this show airs, you should be able to find the app on the iTunes App Store and in Google Play.
That's correct.
Awesome. And I'd also like to welcome a first-time guest to this show, Grant Peters. How are you doing today, Grant?
Aloha, Chad.
Aloha. And Grant, where's your home resort and how long have you been a member?
So I've been a member since 2017. My home resorts are Alani and Copper Creek. And it's a real pleasure to be on the show. I've been a longtime listener.
Well, we're excited to have you here as well. And Kenny, by the way, where's your home resort at?
My home resort is Copper Creek.
We're going to look at today's show, exploring off property in Oahu, and really kind of look at this in geography of the island. So Ken, can you break down the geography of the island for us?
Sure. Oahu is kind of the capital island, and it's a beautiful island that really life is kind of centered around the main sets of mountains there. So as soon as you land, you'll notice like just these sweeping views of mountains, and you'll kind of see off in the distance, you'll see Waikiki, the main part of Honolulu. But there's so much variety to the island of Oahu. And I know a lot of people just think of Honolulu when they think of Oahu, but really there's so much to it. Really, you're encouraged to drive around and explore as much as possible.
So one of the things that we find with Oahu is there's a real diversity of activities that it offers. One of the things that we find very valuable is we usually rent a car. There's always a discussion when most people go to some of the Disney properties, should you rent a car, should you not rent a car? But we find, particularly when we go to Aulani, it's super valuable to have a car. It allows you to get yourself back and forth to the resort really quickly. But also, when you start seeing all the diversity of things that you can do on Oahu, it really gives you the opportunity to explore other aspects of the island beyond the resort itself.
Yeah, and that's exactly what this show is about. If you're going to hit the stuff that we're talking about, I would recommend a car. Now, Steve, when you're there for overnight trips, do you get a car or do you just use shuttles or Uber, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, for most of our overnight trips, we are right downtown Honolulu on Oahu. And so we just take the shuttle that the airline provides us down to the hotel. And I generally don't go out too much beyond Honolulu, unfortunately. But I think to both Grant and Kenny's point, having a car is just a must if you're going to be there. And I think they're fairly reasonable on Oahu. You usually can get some pretty good deals on the rental cars right there from the airport. And it's really just the best way to see the island.
You know, there's another option. I have a friend who's a travel agent over on Oahu. And what he recommends, sometimes if you don't want a car for the entire time, because I really do encourage people to try to relax when they're in Hawaii as opposed to just exploring every day. There are several car rental car companies that will just do a day rental. And we found day rentals for about $75 to $80 a day. And you can drop it off even after hours, just as long as you have that arrangement made. In order to really see the sights, Uber is not going to cut it. Even to get to the Disney property from the airport, I believe it's about $50 each way. And so as a DVC member, since you have free parking, if you plan on doing quite a bit of exploring, go ahead and rent a car, but do keep in mind that you have that option as well of just doing a day rental.
And I also find it helpful for getting groceries and doing other things as well. So I think a car is a must.
So speaking of that then, what all is near the resort? What's the quick drives from the resort for things that you guys would like to do or recommend?
So at the resort, there's a whole number of things to do. One of the beautiful things is that in Kohalina, there's a whole series of different lagoons that every morning we get up and go for a walk along the beach. And the lagoon in front of Aulani is absolutely stunning, but it's also one of the busiest ones because there's a couple of resorts that back onto it, as well as Aulani is one of the busier of the two resorts. But as you walk along the lagoons, it gets quieter and quieter. And so if you're an introvert and you need some time by yourself to just kick back and relax, there's certainly spaces for you to do that. Also, as you go down right towards the end of it, there's a marina, the Kohalina Marina, and there's a number of activities that people can get from there, whether it be different sailing trips or going on a fishing expedition. There's other things that can be done right there.
Now, one of the things that I've wanted to do there is the Hawaii Wet n Wild.
We had an opportunity to do that. And at first, I was kind of offended at the idea. I was like, wait, we're in Hawaii, why are we going to a water park? But it was actually a really good time. They have a surf simulator. So there's just, you know, water shooting up a little curved area and you can try to surf it. The hardest thing I've ever done, actually, but it's really fun. They have lots of different water slides and it's a great opportunity, especially if you have like a big group of people. It's a great way to just kind of take a day off and you don't really feel like you're obligated to get the most out of Hawaii, but it's just a nice distraction.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it should stay on my list then.
Absolutely.
I'm a water park guy.
As long as you're going to be there, you should definitely do that.
Planning on 8 nights.
Yeah.
Popping over there for a day. And the other thing is, I know on our trip, I've kind of said, look, this is our first time to Hawaii and Aulani. I don't want to island hop. I don't want to spend my day doing that. So this is really my jam show to come back in and figure out what are the other things that our family's going to end up doing there. In terms of shopping and golf and like the Marriott next door, have you guys explored any of that?
Yeah, so I'm not an active golfer, but there is a very nice golf course that's sort of in the community of Kohalina. It looks like the community was actually initially based around that. And then there's some resorts that have sort of fallen up, but I hear it's quite nice and I've seen some photos of it. It looks pretty pretty.
So we've actually played the golf course a couple times and they will set you up with tee times right there at Aulani. They can they can do that for you. It's an amazing course, and you're exactly right, Grant. The whole, when Colina was originally built, the original condos were kind of on the southeastern part of it, and it was kind of a golfing community that they had planned to build around, and then they added the hotels later.
So that sounds pretty key if you're a golfer to have that really nearby. Has anybody explored the Marriott next door?
Yeah, so we've had a chance to go up and walk around it. It's definitely quieter than Alani is, and most of the activities there are for its guests, but they do have a nice restaurant there that can just give some variety to your experience.
So just not to be confused, are you talking about the hotel that's right next to Alani or the Marriott Vacation Clubs, which is a little bit further away?
I guess either.
So the one next to Alani now, it used to be a Marriott, and now it's a Four Seasons. I think they came in, they redid the resort quite a bit, and they really upscaled it. I know the restaurant, we haven't been over there, but we talked to some people that have been over there. And I think the pricing is kind of along the same line of Ama Ama. So it is a little pricier place to go and eat, but they do have some views of the water and everything over there if you want to go over there and try something different.
Got it. Grant, you mentioned walking to the beach there. Is there any other beach areas in the Ko'olina area that are worthy of checking out?
Yeah, so there's a beach that's just up the road from Alani called Secret Cove, which is where the luau at Paradise Cove is. Apparently, there's some really nice snorkeling there, and it's kind of a quieter, nice beach area that you can explore and just hang out with if you need, again, another quieter spot.
Grant, you mentioned Paradise Cove. Has anybody been to that luau?
I have to say I haven't. I've been to the one, the Kawaha at Alani, but not to that specific luau, but I've heard good things about it.
I have not been to any of the luau's on Oahu.
From talking to a lot of the people that we've talked to over the years, I think Paradise Cove used to have the best luau on Oahu. And I think Alani's kind of gives it a run for its money now. So I think either one of them, you're not going to go wrong. Those are probably the two best luau's that they have going on the island right now.
Don't we get a DVC discount with the luau at Alani?
Unfortunately, you don't. But the Alani-based luau is fantastic. What we really appreciated about that one specifically was that it really is good for kids, and it really tells a story of the Hawaiian Islands. And a lot of luau's are just a whole series of different performances or acts, whereas the Alani-based one, as Disney always does well, is tells a story about the islands and sort of integrates it into a larger story. All the acts sort of are part of a story.
Well, that's kind of cool. Instead of just being a variety show, there's an actual progression throughout the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the ones I've been to have all been variety shows, including the Aloha show there at the Polynesian. It seems like that show, if memory serves me right, just hits various Polynesian cultures, and I don't know that they're all that tied together.
And my understanding is the Paradise Cove one is more like the traditional luau, where it's a series of acts. It has a meal associated with it, whereas the Alani-based one or the Kawaha, it really tells the story of how the people came to the islands, how the different cultures fit together. And I think that's a little bit easier for kids and other people to sort of follow along, because it's more of a tale or a story about how things came to be.
Okay. So now the other thing that I've heard about, and it seems like it's legendary in the forum post, is Monkey Pods and the ABC shop.
Yeah. So across the street from Alani, there's a little strip mall that's got a bunch of different shops. And then there's a few restaurants. Most of them are smaller restaurants, and there's some takeout food type things. And there's coffee shops like Island Vintage Coffee, as well as Starbucks. But Monkey Pod is a restaurant that's right across the road, which is one of our favorites, actually. We go there every time that we go to Alani, just because it's nice to break it up from the resort, and the food's very good there.
Monkey Pod has one of the, and I highly recommend this. I'm not a big mixed drink person, but Monkey Pod does make one of the best Mai Tais, in my opinion. So I would highly recommend the Monkey Pod Mai Tai.
Note to self, get the Monkey Pod Mai Tai.
And then thank.
And then thank Ken. Got it. So tag Ken in the photo of that one.
Exactly. Yeah.
They have a really good happy hour there. And then as far as the ABC store goes, it's not quite like going to Target for a supermarket, but they've got a lot of things that you can bring back to your room. And then they do have really good breakfasts and sandwiches and stuff like that. So it's a good alternative if you're looking for something, you know, save a little bit of money, but you don't want to go off property or go off of the Ko'olina property.
Ken, is there a story behind ABC? Because it just seems like it's such a weird name.
It is a weird name, and I still don't know. I just know that they are literally everywhere, especially in Waikiki. I remember the first time in Waikiki, I was kind of laughing that I could peek my head out of one ABC and see another one like three stores down. They're just everywhere. They kind of have a little bit of everything. And I find myself at an ABC kind of once a week, unfortunately.
Okay, it seems to me like they're almost like a 7-Eleven slash expanded with a whole lot of variety in them.
Yeah, and they just have a ton of, like, it's a great place to get souvenirs, actually. And one of the cool things, at least the ABC here on Maui, is if you save all of your receipts, you can actually, once you've spent about $100, you get a free gift.
Okay, so you just have to bring the receipts in? It's not like an online app or something?
No, welcome to Hawaii, where a lot of things are just done old-fashioned way, unfortunately. But yeah, you just save your receipts, and if you have $100 worth of purchases, you'll get a free gift.
Okay, well, note to self. I mean, I guess that's quite a few Mai Tais, but...
No, well... Yeah, and you'll find yourself there for coffees and things like that. And yeah, I mean, it's great. You're going to end up with some cheap souvenir mug anyway for Karen at the office. Just give her that one.
Okay.
But the ABC store across from Alani actually has quite a bit more. It has a little grocery store. It has a little fresh food market where you can take away some treats or have a meal there. So it's got quite a bit more than even a traditional ABC store. Okay. And just sort of picking up on what Steve was saying about Island Vintage Coffee is across the road, it actually has quite a few good breakfast options. They have some excellent acai bowls, which I think are better than what you can get at Alani and at a better price as well. So it's a good way to experience that.
Okay, good point. That sounds like that wraps up the Alani area then. What do you guys know about central and leeward areas of the island?
So one tip that I would have is that depends on when your flights get in, but we find that a lot of the flights from the mainland come in late at night. And so we've always made a habit of just getting a hotel in the close to the airport so that we arrive at Alani during the daytime. It's just a cooler time to arrive when they greet you with leis and other cool things. So what we do is we stay around the airport on the night of if our flight arrives really late. And then the following morning is a great time to get up and head off to Pearl Harbor and sort of catch that in the morning and then sort of arrive at Alani in the mid-afternoon.
Oh, that is a great tip. I bet you can save a lot of points and maybe even a lot of cash from just staying at a cheaper hotel room near the airport.
Yeah, and you get to have the better experience of arriving at Alani in the daytime where you get greeted and see the resort for what it is. It's sort of awe-inspiring when you see that. But then it also gives you the opportunity to do some things in that central area, such as Pearl Harbor in the morning.
So if you're going to visit Pearl Harbor, one of the best things to do is once you book your Alani trip, jump on the National Park site for Pearl Harbor and you can book your time into Pearl Harbor as well. I think it's $1, so it's not very much to do that online. And then because they hand out tickets for different periods of time during the day, so if you show up early in the morning, your time may not be until the afternoon or you may miss it. It may sell out completely. So that's one thing you're going to want to do. And also associated with there are three other different, if you're a World War II or history buff, there's three other different attractions that you can see. These cost a little bit more. You can get either buy them singly or you can do a multi-pass to each different one. But there's a World War II submarine called the Bowfin. And then there is also one of the last battleships that was actually used in the first Gulf War. It was recommissioned and used in that. And it was also actually the site where the Japanese surrendered to the U.S. was on that battleship. So that's USS Missouri. And then there's a smaller, if you're an aviation buff, they have a Pacific Aviation Museum. The dioramas and the planes are really done well. But the last time I've been there, it's been a while. It's kind of small, so it's not quite as, they were still working on expanding it.
Well, that's a great tip, Steve. So you're telling me when I do my 7-month booking at Alani, I can do a 7-month booking to get on the Arizona as well as the other museum?
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry so much about the other museums time-wise, but you definitely want to, I haven't been on their website to know if it's 7 months out, but you're definitely going to want to do it before you go and just book that time. So just like Grant was saying, so you've that matches up with, you know, maybe that next morning when you get up before you go to Alani.
And actually, Chad, I think that that's just in general good advice, because just like you have to plan ahead for your, you know, Walt Disney World trip and make those reservations early, I can't tell you how many people I know that just show up in Hawaii thinking that they can just, you know, last minute do a few things. But really, in general, if you're booking at least 7 months in advance, you want to go ahead. And if you're doing any kind of tours, like there's open Jeep tours that maybe we'll talk about a little bit later. But any of those experiences, you want to make sure that you book those as early as possible.
I just Googled it and it looks like it's 2 months in advance for the Arizona Memorial. But that's a great tip, Steve and Ken, to come back in and figure out what's your big important things that you're going to do off property and try to get those booked and nailed down in advance. And, you know, we're talking to a Walt Disney World audience who fully understands 180 days in advance, 60 day fast passes, the whole nine yards.
Yep.
So do we dare touch the Holy Grail for Chad and talk about the Dole Plantation?
Well, they say this is the best Dole Whip ever.
Can we not? We have to. We have to.
I guarantee it. It'll be the best Dole Whip you've ever had.
Okay. I mean, that's what everybody says. So yeah. We got to see if this can like live up to the hype. Okay. So talk to me guys about the Dole Whip Plantation.
Anybody want to jump in there? I've been there a bunch of times, but
oh, you can go ahead. I don't really have good things to say about the plantation. It's just because that bores me, but the Dole Whip obviously is the highlight.
Okay. The Dole Plantation was the last working pineapple plantation on Oahu. And I think that they still have some fields around it. So when you drive up there, you'll be able to see the pineapples in the fields around the visitor center itself. I don't know how many of those they actually sell anymore. I think a lot of that is just for the shop itself. But the main part of the plantation is they have this big, huge visitor center where you can buy just about anything pineapple, any kind of tchotchke or shtick that you can think of that's pineapple related, from candies to even coffee that's flavored with pineapple and whatnot. But to your point, Chad, they sell Dole Whips there too. And every different way you can kind of think of a Dole Whip they have. And it's just amazing.
Well, like there's the Dole Whip, Steve, which is pure and pristine. And then there's all these abominations thereof. Okay.
The only thing I'm not sure is I don't think they have any alcohol related Dole Whips there.
That's still an abomination thereof, right?
Well, they do if you've been to the ABC store.
Well, that's true. You could kind of make your own, but they also have a couple.
Dole Whip to meet your needs, Chad.
They have a couple other activities there. They have a maze. They have a train, which when my kids were younger, they really liked. We haven't been on it for years. They have a garden walking trail. But I think the main emphasis is you're not going to go there and spend hours at this place. But it's a great break as you're heading up to the North Shore or either coming back from the North Shore to pop in there, get your Dole Whip, sit outside and enjoy it, and then kind of head on your way.
Okay. So the star of the show is obviously the Dole Whip because like my whole Disney vacation revolves around those. And I'm glad to know that they serve them on property at Alani, because when I'm on vacation, I have my like daily Dole Whip kind of quota to do here. Yeah, so
there you go.
I know for our listener meetup, we are actually planning a day there so that I can go experience the Dole Whip when we take that trip in June of 2021.
Well, and the Dole Plantation's on its way to Haleiwa, so you can do that on mid-trip on your way to the North Shore.
That's awesome. If I were to just take a quick commute in my car to the Dole Whip Plantation to get the OG Dole Whip, how long would that take me?
Probably half an hour.
Okay. So you're talking maybe an hour and a half round trip. That's not that bad.
No, but I would really combine it as Grant was saying is, you know, either stop in on your way up towards the North Shore as you're going up to explore that or on the way back. I think that's the best way to do it.
Agreed.
Okay. And the Dole Whip addict in me could just start jonesing though. So.
But if you're an addict, you might want to make that part of your daily morning trip.
I'm telling you, that's why I'm planning this thing out here, guys. So have you guys ever been to the Aloha Stadium Swap? I know I went to it in 2000 when I went there, but other than general flea market, I can't say that it was something that I'd have to go back to, but it did look like it was a great place to get some cheap souvenirs.
I have to say I've never been to it personally.
Well, I was just going to say, we have a version of that over here on Maui, and you'd be surprised. I don't know, you know, what it was like a few years ago, but you'd be surprised at just some of the quality gifts that you can get. And it's a great way to kind of support the local community. There's a lot of artists that produce items that can be found at some of these swap meets.
Okay. That's probably something that I really wasn't tuned into way back then, was the arts and crafts and supporting the local artists. That's a really good point.
And if you want something exclusive that someone can't just go online and order because they saw that you have it and they like it, can definitely get bragging rights that this was handmade in Hawaii.
That's a very good point as well there. So what about other shopping or restaurants or anything else in this area that we should start to come back in and hit while we're in central or leeward Oahu?
Well, one of the big communities right next to Ko'olina is called Kapolei. Kapolei, for the most part, is more of a suburban type neighborhood. But with that comes a lot of the usual things that you'd expect. You get the Targets, the Walmarts, Safeway, Costco, which is fantastic places for you to sort of pick up your groceries en route to Alani, or after you've checked in Alani, you can easily, it's about a 10-minute drive, so you can sort of go back in your car and grab and stock up for the week there. It's a great place for doing there. And then there's also some other little shopping areas. There's different restaurants that you'd expect of a typical suburb of America, where such as Cheesecake Factory and other places like that, where it's kind of a good place to take your kids and if you want a cheaper meal and sort of get back to your more usual stuff.
And I'll throw another staple out for Oahu. Leonard's is famous for their malasadas, which in the original Leonard's is downtown Waikiki, or downtown Honolulu, excuse me. They have a little truck and it's near the Waikele premium outlets, which you're going to pass before you get to Kapolei that Grant was just talking. And it's right next to Old Navy. So if you just Google Old Navy on the way out towards Aulani, there's a little truck there where they make these malasadas. They sell them at Aulani as well, but the Aulani ones don't hold a candle to Leonard's.
You've got to get them fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. They're Portuguese donuts is what they are. And they're amazing.
They are. We did a little malasada tour the last time we were on Oahu. And I didn't get to go to the truck. We actually went to the one downtown. We'll talk about that one later. But yeah, fresh malasadas just can't be touched.
Okay. Portuguese style donuts. I was about ready to ask what that was when you guys started like raving over this. And I'm going, okay, help me understand. How does this come into it? Donuts. Got it. Okay. What about outlet mall shopping?
So near Kapolei, there's Waikele Premium Outlets, which is where Leonard's sits. And there's other shopping areas in Kapolei, like the Ka Makana Ali'i, which is more of a outdoor shopping mall style, which has, I think, 100 plus stores in it. So there are a couple of shopping options like that.
Like 15 minutes from the resort, that's pretty good as well. Because I know some people like to shop on vacation. I personally don't want to. It's not something that I want to pay all that money to go to Hawaii for, is shopping. But you know, to each their own.
And then there's lots of shopping in Honolulu, which we'll talk about in a second.
Well, let's just transition over to Honolulu itself. I know it's the largest city in Hawaii. I remember from 2000 when I went there, I was just blown away with how metropolis this city was and how commercialized Waikiki Beach was.
Yeah, that's right. It's definitely, I mean, it's LA, right? And that's kind of what it feels a lot like. And Waikiki is a very sanitized, especially now that with the changes that they've made to the international marketplace. But there's still something to be said for a lot of the dining options. You have a lot of great eateries down there. And so spend a day in Waikiki just to kind of check it out. There's also a lot of outdoor activities to do there. And it's very walkable as well. So it's an opportunity to kind of explore Hawaii on foot, at least this part of it on foot, if you are going to do any shopping and just kind of eat around. This is a good opportunity or a good option.
Yeah, I think we're going to go hit Waikiki Beach when we're there just to say we did it and somewhat check it off the list. Because when I mentally picture a Hawaiian beach in a city together, it's Waikiki. Okay. Everything from the high rises to the Diamond Head Mountain at the end to the protected cove area of it. So to me, it was just like the epitome of the Hawaiian beach. And I guess you use the word sanitized, Ken. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
And I find Waikiki is sort of to each their own. Like some people, it's their favorite part of the entire trip because they like the hustle bustle. The beach is very busy with lots of people. But with that brings lots of activities and lots of things to do. For me, it's one of my least favorite parts, beaches to go to, just because of the busy factor. So it depends on your perspective.
Yeah, I think it's a one and done for me. I just want to do it with the kids to say that we did it there and have that photo moment. And to me, it's almost like it's the theme park version of Hawaii. And you're really talking about nature's playground here. There's so much beautiful nature stuff to do, but this seems like it's the man-made theme park version of it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good assessment.
But to Kenny's point also, though, there's lots of, if you're into shopping, there's lots of good shopping opportunities there, from trinkets to all the way to high-end shopping. And in terms of dining, there's lots of great dining options. So, you know, we usually park at the International Marketplace and then do a short walk of Waikiki and then explore a few shops and then plan a nice dinner at a place like Duke's, which we really enjoy. And then we sort of make a nice afternoon of it.
Tell me about Duke.
So Duke was one of the famous original surfers in the Hawaiian Islands, and there's a restaurant that's named after him, and it's a great restaurant. It's got excellent food. They've got the hula ice cream pie, which is fantastic, and they always have different options or flavors for that. And there's some really nice tables with nice views, or even if you're inside, they've got sort of that old school koa wood Hawaiian paneling, which has sort of an old school authentic feel to it, but it's a really great place to grab a meal in the evening. We often try to get reservations for it just because it can be quite busy.
You had me at that hula ice cream pie. Okay. I ain't going to lie.
Oh, it's amazing. It rivals your Dole Whip there.
Challenge accepted.
You could have two favorites, Chad.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. But it's definitely a highlight for our family.
Well, any other beaches or shopping or notable things in the Honolulu area?
Well, I think if you're a hardcore shopper, the Ala Moana Center is their massive four-level shopping mall, which has hundreds and hundreds of stores. Again, mall is a mall to me, but for some people, that may be a highlight of the trip.
Okay. Have you guys been up to Diamond Head? Seems like when I went up there last time, it was pretty nice, and the view was just absolutely spectacular, looking down at the city, the ocean, everything all combined. It's like you had nature and man-made, and you got just a great view of all of it right there.
Honolulu is a Walt Disney World park. Diamond Head's the icon, and it's just iconic all the way. So yeah, the drive up is nice, and it's not as far as you think it is. Everything's actually a pretty short distance in relative terms. So I recommend going up there. The Hawaii Kai area is also nice to just kind of drive around and kind of look at some of the homes there as well.
So what you're telling me is this is the e-ticket attraction for
I wouldn't go that far. I would just say, like, you know, it's just cool to look up and you kind of see, like, it's the weenie, you know, so to speak. It's the thing that draws your eye, at least if you're okay. in the Honolulu Waikiki area.
Okay, because we got to reframe everything in like Walt Disney World for me here. So.
Right.
I think we've covered shopping there, unless you guys want to talk about International Marketplace.
Not really too much to add about International Marketplace. I mean, just it's changed over the last few years, so it's definitely more of a high-end experience. And there's a couple of outfits that are set up there if people get an opportunity. And if, for example, if you do decide to stay in the Waikiki area for a day or two prior to heading over to Aulani, I would recommend that you reach out to one of those Hawaii Jeep tour companies, and they do like an open Jeep tour, and they start from anywhere from four to 8 hours, and it's a Circle Island tour. So it's a great way to see a lot of the points on the island. You can also do some of the hikes. They'll take you on some of those, not necessarily exclusive hikes, but just some of the popular public hikes. There's a couple of different companies that are set up there, and you could talk to the experts in that area.
Gotcha. So that's where you would kind of get on that and book that then, right?
If you haven't already made your plans ahead of time.
The other thing I like about the International Marketplace is parking can be a real challenge at Waikiki Beach to find places that are easy to park. And we find that's a great place to park is at the marketplace. And then it's a short walk to Waikiki Beach. It gives you the chance to see some of the shops in the marketplace, but also is a good place to be your starting point for your afternoon, your day in Waikiki.
That's a great pro tip there.
Parking is a constant challenge, unfortunately.
I'll throw out one other tip for parking too. If you don't want to park down by International Marketplace, there's a park called Fort DeRussy. And there's an open parking lot right across from there. And that part of Waikiki Beach is down by the Hilton Hawaiian Village. It's a lot less crowded. Down by Duke's and in that part of the beach, it can be wall-to-wall people sometimes. So if you want a little bit more room, we really enjoy that area to go down there.
Was that the boat ramp, Steve?
No, it's kind of down by where the Halikoa is, the military hotel. There's actually a World War II museum down there too, Fort DeRussy, that's free that you can go to if you want to. But the park itself is really open, spread out. It's all grassy. It's really well maintained. It's almost kind of like Koalina. And then the beaches itself down there are definitely more open as far as the crowds go. But if you're into surfing, you'd want to go down towards the Duke statue down there. So if anybody, you think of surfing in Hawaii, they do run an excursion out of Aulani, which can be pretty pricey. But if you're going to spend a day down on Waikiki and you had like older kids that wanted to try and surf, or Chad, I know you want to hang 10 at some point while you're on your trip, that's a great place to go and do it. They've got some Beach Boys right down there and you're going to get your best price and they'll definitely get you up on a wave.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't know about that whole hang 10 thing, man. I'd be lucky to hang myself on that thing if I tried, but
that little... I think for history buffs, there's also the Royal Hawaiian Hotel, which is sort of the original high-end hotel where all the famous movie stars and people used to stay. And so if you're interested in the history of Hawaii, that certainly is an iconic hotel.
Yeah, they get some amazing pictures if you just walk to the hotel itself and upstairs. And I would say that, and I haven't had one for maybe a year or two, Ken, is they make a pretty mean Mai Tai there as well.
Okay.
And they've got a big banyan tree, right? So either before you go over to Duke's or after Duke's, it's a great place to go out. They usually have live music out in the courtyard behind that hotel that looks out over the ocean. And it's just a magical place to hang out at night.
Nice.
Okay. Any other notable things down here that we need to cover in the Honolulu area?
Kenny, did you want to talk about the palace?
Yeah. So if you're a fan of the Hawaii Five-0 TV series, especially the reboot here, you'll really enjoy the Waikiki area. You'll see tons of shots and you'll start to kind of recognize some of the places that they frequently use in the TV show, including the palace, actually. So it's a good opportunity to just visit and kind of learn a little bit about Hawaii's history. It's great to see locations that you recognize from a TV show, especially if you really enjoy it.
Yeah, that is a lot of fun to come back in and go, I recognize that place.
It's easier than visiting any of the locations Lost was shot, that's for sure.
Well, speaking of that, Kenny, where would you have to go to see some of the Lost locations?
The pilot was actually filmed at Mokulea'ia Beach, which is on the northwest tip of the island. And just a lot of the locations were not necessarily easy to get to for most tourists, just because you'll have to drive around and kind of ask for directions. But they're great outdoor locations as well. So, and I know that some of those tour companies do TV show and movie tours as well to kind of take you to some of those locations.
So moving on to North Shore, this is the world famous surfing North Shore.
Yeah, so we love the North Shore. That's one of our favorite places. We go there several times actually on each trip, just because there's so much neat things to do. Obviously, as you alluded to, the Banzai Pipeline is the famous big wave surfing in the wintertime, where you see a lot of the pipeline type surfing videos and shots. So it's a pretty neat place.
Yeah, an event you'd want to keep an eye out for is called the Eddy, which is, it's kind of one of these, you know, big wave surfing events that only happens certain times of the year. So basically anytime you're planning on going, just look and see, is Banzai Pipeline, you know, are they expecting any kind of events? Because watching big wave surfing is really impressive. It's also important to stay out of the water when they surf is up in areas like that, especially on the North Shore.
That almost seems like a, you know, amateurs do not play here kind of level from what from what I've gathered about the waves there at the North Shore in season.
Yeah, the shore break, it's known to break necks because it's so strong. Actually, Clark Little is a photographer and he does an amazing job of capturing the beauty of those shore breaks.
But it's amazing how seasonal it is. In the summertime, it's actually a lot more calm and more easy to deal with.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, there's some pretty good surfing lessons to be had up in that area as well, if that's something that you're into.
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of on Sunset Beach, there's some surfing schools that go there, and there's obviously various levels. They'll also take you to different beaches around. Like we went with Kai Sala's Pro Surf School, and there's other beaches where the waves are not quite as intense where they take you to and give you your start.
So as you're kind of talking about, Chad, so the big waves are in the winter for the most part. And then as Grant said, in the summer, it's pretty calm up there. One of the things that we really like to do, there's an area called Shark's Cove, and that's a great place in the summer to go up and snorkel. And even for kids too. The one thing I would say though, is you probably want to get some type of reef shoes or some kind of shoes that reef shoes are kind of like water shoes where it's, they've got, you like holes on top, but the rubber on the bottom, because the coral can be pretty sharp for the kids. And you can usually find those at Target. Costco sometimes has them right there by Alani, and they're fairly cheap. But that's a great place to go up in the summer to do some snorkeling as well. And that's right up there on the North Shore.
Yeah, we love Shark's Cove as well. We find it one of our favorite places to snorkel. But you're right, all the lava rocks are pretty sharp. And so you need them to walk out to actually get to the snorkeling spot.
Speaking of snorkeling, have you guys done any scuba diving here on the island of Oahu?
So we have. Actually, my oldest son just got certified this last summer with a company called Island Divers, kind of past Diamond Head. There's an area down there in Hawaii Kai. They run some dive boats out of there, and we found them to be, they're really easy to work with. They have great equipment. And so they run trips right out of there. But I think my son actually dove right off of Waikiki. So they also have a shop downtown Waikiki. And he really liked the dive that they did there a little bit better than the Hawaii Kai area. But they were able to see eels. They were able to see turtles. And the coral is slowly coming back in that area. It's not quite as vibrant as some other areas of the world, but that's been our experience.
Awesome. I'll have to check that part out.
And talking specifically about snorkeling, Hanuma Bay is another really amazing snorkeling spot, although we prefer Shark's Cove.
Yeah, Hanuma Bay, I remember going there when the first time I went to Hawaii, they didn't have any restrictions on how many people go down there. Now they turned it into a nature preserve, so they restrict how many people go down there. So sometimes you have to get there early during the day to make sure that you can access the bay. They're trying to get the coral to grow back. But there are some, probably as Ken was talking about, there are some probably tour companies downtown Waikiki where you can sign up with them and they have spots already reserved to get you into Hanuma Bay, but that's a great snorkeling spot as well.
You know, and while we're talking about it, since this is the outdoor episode, it's so important that people make sure that they have reef safe sunblock, which I believe has been outlawed. The bad stuff has been outlawed here, but I know some people, you know, trying to save a few bucks might bring their own. It's so important that you use reef safe sunblock because years of people putting chemicals in the water has off a lot of the coral.
That's a really good point. So we can identify that with the words reef safe on it?
Correct.
I don't think you can even buy anything that's not reef safe on the island. So it might be something that you could just pick up when you swing through Target or through Costco again as well. So if you don't bring it with, or you can't buy it where you are.
Yeah, exactly. Just buy it here just to make sure that you get the right stuff.
Got it. So that's another pro tip as well, because, you know, if you're buying it at Costco, you're going to get a fairly decent deal on it. Mm-hmm. In the back of my head, I go, okay, I'm buying sunblock there at a tourist shop. I'm going to pay four times as much.
Right.
So another beach up in the North Shore that we love to go to is Waimea Bay. It's a really great sort of covey beach where lots of people like to swim and play, and the waves are fantastic. And then there's a big, large rock which sits out in there where a lot of people will cliff jump off it. It's right close to the Waimea Valley, which is a botanical garden where you can sort of explore. And then there's a hike up to some waterfalls. I think there's a small fee to go on that specific hike, but you can hike up to a waterfall where the legendary Hawaiians used to go to sort of heal themselves in this pond that's at the top.
Now, the other thing I think of when I hear North Shore is food trucks. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think any visit to the North Shore is complete without hitting the food trucks. What are some of your guys' favorites?
Well, there's a ton of different food shops all over the North Shore. And the one that gets most positively reviewed is Giovanni's Shrimp Trucks. And they are famous for their shrimp.
Yep. You took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to make sure you hit up Giovanni's. That's a local favorite for sure.
And I think there's some shave ice that's pretty famous up in that area too, isn't there?
Well, there's the Matsuma's Shave Ice, which is probably the most popular. When you go there, there's always a massive lineup to get in it. Just a pro tip is across the street, there's a smaller shop called Aoki's, which has great shave ice as well. And it's a little bit cheaper, less busy. So if you don't want to stand in the huge lines, it's another option in that area. Another place we really like up in the North Shore is there's a little shack called Haleiwa Bowls, which again has fantastic acai bowls. So it's another great place to catch a nice lunch or a nice breakfast type bowl.
Okay. I've heard good things about the beach house up there too.
So all of these are in the little town of Haleiwa, and they've really kind of redone it. It's probably, for Oahu, probably the most, I don't know how to say it, maybe Grant, probably like the most traditional kind of little town that you're going to go through. Although the main street's been redone a little bit because so many people have found it and go through there. But the beach house sits right across from the ocean. We've eaten there a couple times. It's a great place for, they've got a great happy hour. They have good breakfast. So depending upon what time of the day you get up there, it's a great place to sit outside. And basically right across the street, you've got the ocean and watch the views there.
Okay. Anything else up in that area that we should really tune into and look for?
Well, I think there's another restaurant called Ted's Bakery on Sunset Beach, which is sort of legendary for a pie, and their lunches and stuff are very excellent.
The Wailua Old Sugar Mill, it's kind of a hidden spot. And we went there for years and it was kind of a quiet place. And the last time I was there was like a big tour bus. So I think the tourist buses have found it, but it's one of the old sugar mills. And inside it, it was kind of like almost like a flea market setting, but they make their own coffee and chocolate, and it's some of the best coffee. Now it's expensive if you buy the beans, but is some of the best coffee that I've had. So we really enjoy that. There's also a soap factory there. And I think they used to have a surfboard. There was somebody up there making surfboards up there too.
Yeah, they still do. We were there just last year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the soaps are really good too, aren't they?
Yeah, they're great. We bought a few and they make some really great souvenir gifts to give to friends and family as well.
Yeah. So that's a great little place to check out. It's on the other side. It's kind of past the downtown area of Haleiwa. It's a great little area or a great little place to find.
Okay. Anything else on North Shore that we need to hit before we move on to South Shore?
I have a question for the experts in the room. Do you guys have any good poke recommendations on North Shore? Or where do you guys go in general for your poke, if you like it?
I guess I got to be honest. I just haven't had a lot of poke. I'm kind of one of the weird ones that just have. I know everybody I work with loves poke, and they've got all their like secret little spots downtown Honolulu, but I just have not had very much of it.
Okay.
I have to say I love poke, but I don't know if I have a great spot either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm in the haven't tried it yet club. Isn't that like raw tuna?
Yeah, it's a raw fish for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, yep. No thanks. I'll pass.
Well, you know, there's a couple of places that even do fried poke, which is surprisingly good, where they take the same tuna cubes, do a quick tempura fry. They're pretty tasty, but Chad, don't count it out, man. It's excellent.
It is excellent.
Yeah. raw fish and me just don't. Yeah, no. Nope. Don't see that happening. So I'm pretty open to most things, but raw meat, not going there. You lost me at that one, Ken. You just completely lost me.
That's it. Chad's out.
Okay. Yeah. Peace out. Right. Okay. So we've wrapped up North Shore. We've talked about the snorkeling at South Shore at Hanama Bay. Let's move over to just hiking experiences. So if somebody were wanting to go hiking on Hawaii, it seems like this is the jam for little hike trails and waterfalls and all kinds of off the beaten path kind of things. Where do you guys recommend for hiking?
Well, there's actually a nice app called All Trails that has a lot of hiking areas as well as the grade of the hike, whether it's going to be complicated or expert level. And I just want to say, like, what a lot of people do is they end up getting the Hawaii Revealed book, which has some great hikes listed out in it. You really want to make sure. It seems exciting to go on a hike on private land, but a lot of those areas are marked no trespassing for a reason. And so it can be really dangerous in some of those areas to just hike wherever. Like, you know, for example, the Hana Stairway is probably one of the most famous hikes, but it's off limits. It's dangerous. People have had to be helicoptered out of there. So I say use an app like All Trails to see, first of all, you know, gauge your level of hiking ability, especially since chances are you don't necessarily have proper footwear, and just start from there.
That's a great tip.
But my hiking experience is going to be more here, over here on Maui.
Well, one of the ones that we found that you can do with younger kids is down on the south part of the island. If you're doing like an island circle tour, and it's called Lighthouse Trail, and you'll see it's past Hanama Bay. And I think it's called Sandy Beach is down on the south side there. But you'll see a pullout for it. They've got some parking there now. It used to be every man for himself trying to find a place to park. But it's actually a paved trail, and it goes up fairly steep hike that gets you up to some great sceneries of the eastern side. You get to see the backside of the Koala Mountains on a clear day. And there's a couple of lighthouses up there. But it's definitely doable with younger kids. Now I'm talking about maybe like 5 or 6 year olds and on up. But that's a great hike to do. You don't have to worry about any of the safety of it.
And I think if you were to probably go with one of the open Jeep tours that take you to some of these places as well, that's going to be a pretty sanitized, scrubbed version of a hiking experience as well.
Another one you had listed, which we actually did, and I'll tell on myself, back in my 20s, we went to Kaiana Point, which is the very northern tip of the island. And this one I would not take kids with, or younger kids, you know, teenagers, sure. Make sure you take water. Most of it's just walking along the beach. But when you get out to the point, it's just amazing because it's a point where the waves are kind of hitting it from both sides. And you just get some really great shots of the waves coming in. It's really beautiful. You get some great views now of the Waianae range looking back down towards Aulani. You can't see Aulani at all or anything like that. But once again, the hike itself, I would say, is not all that exciting, but the destination when you get out to that point is pretty amazing. But make sure you take water. And once again, I wouldn't take little kids on that hike.
Let's move over to the windward side of the island.
So we love this part of the island. This is one of our favorite spots. There's some absolutely stunning beaches, which are much less busier than a lot of the other beaches around the Honolulu areas. And then there's also the Kualoa Ranch, which it has tons of different opportunities for different tours and stuff. This is a site where there's a lot of movies that we are used to seeing, like Jurassic Park, Godzilla, Hawaii Five-0. As soon as you're there, you'll go, oh yeah, I've seen this before. Just the way the mountains come out to the sea, it's really beautiful. And it's great to see some of the places where a lot of the movies were made.
I think Polynesian Cultural Center is also up in that side as well. Have you guys been there?
Nope.
So my wife and I went there years ago, and I would say it's a very sanitized version. It's run by BYU Hawaii. And so it's kind of a sanitized version of the Polynesian or just the whole island culture down in the South Pacific. They represent Tonga, Hawaii, and then I forget the region by New Zealand, but it's sort of like Disneyland for the kind of Polynesian cultures. They've got separate lands for each one of the regions, and then they have a river that runs through it, and they have a midday parade where there's some floats that come down this little man-made river with the different cultures on it singing their songs and whatnot. But it's really expensive. I don't know if I would necessarily recommend it or not recommend it, but we did find it to be, I just remember going to like each one of the cultures has a show during the day. And I remember going to see the Tonga show, and it was a drumming show, and it was hilarious, but it's been years.
I know on my first trip to Hawaii, we skipped it. We looked at it like, okay, this is probably going to be a little bit more polished and a little bit more of a Disneylandish type story, to use your exact words. We didn't think it was going to be as authentic as we really wanted it to be. Now, we could be wrong, but that's kind of what my initial opinion was. And so I don't know that it's on my list to go back to. Okay. Or I can't even use the word go back to. I don't even know that it's on my list to go to.
Yeah, it's not on mine.
I think it's one of those places that people either love it or they just don't want to have anything to do with it. And if you love it, it's great. But I think you can get a lot of the stories elsewhere. You're going to, especially the luau, either at Paradise Cove or at Aulani, you're going to get a lot of kind of that history and what you're going to see up there as well. So that's just my opinion, I guess.
Got it. I would be interested in the movie sets up in that area and the places where movies were filmed, by all means.
Does it cost anything to go to the Polynesian Cultural Center?
Yeah, it's really expensive. Like, and then they have like these packages where you can add on. They used to have a show in the evening, which is almost kind of like a traditional luau show where they have fire dancing and chanting, but and you could buy a package that included both, but I just remember it being super expensive. And we got our tickets through a military brokerage site, which made it like half.
Like I said, it's not something that I'm really looking forward to. It's just based on what I've heard from other people, it's a hard pass for me. Not quite as hard as that Poke Bowl, but it's still a hard pass.
You know, when I show up to the member meetup in June, Chad, I'm going to have a Poke Bowl with me, and I'm going to insist that you try it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peer pressure.
Yeah.
There better be a serious Dole Whip chaser there, Ken. Yeah, oh, there you go. I'm saying, yeah. Right. Plus, I'm going to hold you to getting one of those monkey pod Mai Tais and throwing in there too. So
yeah, there we go.
But the beaches along the windward side are fantastic. Like there's one beach called Waimanalo, which is a fantastic one for body surfing. And it's just the mountains are really close to the water. There's parasailers that are floating back and forth, traversing the mountains along the beach. It's just a really beautiful, unpopulated beach. Nice place to walk or just hang out. And then further up is the town of Kailua, which has some of the most beautiful beaches in the world, actually. Lanakai Beach is a smaller beach where you sort of feel like you're parking in a residential neighborhood and then walking up to it. But it's just absolutely stunning. There's other beaches in that area which are just absolutely fantastic, and it's well worth your drive to go up there. And just driving along the water with the mountains on one side and the beaches on the other side, it's one of my favorite places to drive, as well as some of my favorite beaches to actually go to.
You know, that sounds like a really good plan, because one of the things that I liked doing last time was we just got a rental car and drove. And then whatever looked interesting, we just pulled off to the side of the road and did it. Because there's not that many roads in Hawaii. And at the time, GPS really wasn't a thing as much as it is now. But we didn't have a problem with just a map back then. So I can imagine now with GPS, or with Andrew's app, it would just be okay, let's hop in and go exploring.
And it's a great way to spend a day. You can sort of go along that whole east side of the island and run right from the North Shore all the way down to the South Shore and stop along the way and do a bit of snorkeling, hit a few food trucks, just enjoy the drive, stop at the beach and have a swim. So it's a great way to spend an entire day.
I think that's a pretty solid plan, because the way I look at this episode, from what I've talked with other people on from the previous episodes when we're recording them, it sounds like sunrise and sunset is just awesome times to be right there at the resort and take in that beauty of Hawaii. And then in between, it sounds like a great time to just go off resort and start exploring.
And we find that it depends on what mode you're in. If you're there just to chill and relax, then spending more time at the resort or the lagoons in Ko'olina is fantastic. But we usually like to go for 7 or 10 days. And then what we do is we'll spend a day at the resort, just relaxing, enjoying Aulani. And then the next day we'll take the car and we'll go and explore some new areas and sort of get off property for a while. And then the next day we'll spend back at the resort. So we flip-flop back and forth, but really just depends on what mode you're in. If you want to relax, then the resort's a great place to hang out. If you want to explore, then there's lots of things on the island to do. And that's one of the things that I love about Aulani is that every trip is quite different, because you can do new experiences every time, or you can enjoy the familiar.
That's a really great point, to balance that out the same way we do the park days and resort days.
Yeah, I just want to add to what Grant has already said. I think if you're looking for that iconic Hawaii beach day, I think a lot of people go to Maui for the beaches. They're really well known for their beaches in Maui, but for Oahu, you know, coming over to Waimanalo, Kailua Beach, that's going to be the type of, with the mountains behind you, as Grant said, I think that's kind of your iconic beach day versus, and that, not to pick on Waikiki. Waikiki is just very busy. This is going to be a little bit more quieter, and the waves are a lot of fun to play in and body surf or boogie board or whatnot. So it's a great place to go.
So starting to wrap this up, if you guys had one must do on the island of Oahu that's off property from Aulani, what would you recommend the listeners go check out and do and sell it to us? Okay.
I would say if you're new to Hawaii, going to Honolulu and Waikiki Beach, which is the iconic Hawaii beach and scene, is something that you definitely should do. Me personally, my favorite place to go is the North Shore and explore the shops and the beaches and the food trucks and the activities up in the North Shore. So the North Shore would definitely be my favorite place to go.
Awesome.
And I would agree there. Really, Waimea Bay during the eddy would be, that's kind of a must do for me, that when I get an opportunity next. And that's any time between December 1st and February 29th. Is when that event happens, just based on surf conditions. But there's something about watching big wave surfing that is just awe-inspiring, and it kind of reminds you of how small you are.
And I'm going to have to agree with both Grant and Ken. And I think the North Shore is really the place you're going to want to go up to first and see. It's so beautiful up there. The beaches are amazing. And hey, you can stop by the Dole Plantation either on your way up or your way back.
Oh, you got me on that one, Steve. Okay. Hit me in my soft spot.
Don't forget the hula pie at Duke's.
And the hula pie. I'm going to have to like tag you in that photo, Grant.
Could I get on my high horse for 1 second? I don't know if anybody's talked about this, but I think Ken talked about it a little bit with the hiking.
Yeah, sure.
So my mom works up on the North Shore with turtles up on Lanikai Beach. One of the things to be careful of with Hawaii is like you get there and you see the ocean. And as Ken was talking about, when those big waves are coming in, you want to stay back away from it and never turn your back on the ocean. And I think, you know, if you're going to go surf, you know, go with that surf school. Don't just go find a surfboard if you've never surfed before, if you don't know what you're doing. I've talked to several people. My wife and I kind of got in this one time. We were at Hickam Beach, which is right near the airport. And she and my oldest son at the time took a kayak, and it was so windy that day, she physically did not have the strength to turn it around. And she was on her way to Kauai. So myself and one of the lifeguards had to go out after her and get that turned around. So my point in all of this is, if it's your first time in Hawaii, if you're not an expert with the ocean, and if Grant or Ken, if you want to jump in on any of this also, just go with a known tour group to really kind of get you out there on the ocean first before you start exploring some of the stuff by yourself. Just don't get yourself in trouble, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, fully agree.
No, I completely agree. And I also think with the whole surfing, it's a much better experience. They take it to places in the island which are safe for that season, and they have all the equipment and the know-how to help you stay safe, also enjoy the experience and learn as much as you can. And I think it helps support the local economy, but also really helps make it a safe and fun trip for yourself.
Yeah. And just to kind of back up what Steve and Grant said, it's so important to be safe. A lot of people, they get kind of hypnotized by the beauty. This beauty will kill you. I mean, regularly we see people who aren't used to ocean conditions who decide to go out snorkeling by themselves and end up having a heart attack, especially if you're, you know, 50 and up. There's other people who they hike for the first time and twist an ankle. I mean, it's so dangerous, but there's definitely a safe way to do all of this.
Yeah, you and I were talking about that offline one day, Kenny, that it's a huge problem with people coming into nature's theme park and thinking that it's been somewhat Disneyized and it's safe because of how beautiful it is. Where we walk into Walt Disney World and we know it's not only beautiful and aesthetically pleasing, but it's also been highly engineered to be safe for us. And when you're talking about Mother Nature, it's even more beautiful, but not engineered at all.
Exactly.
And that's one of the beautiful things about the Ko'olina beaches right next to Aulani is they have real nice water breaks coming into the lagoons. And so they actually are very safe places for people to swim and enjoy for those people who are less experienced.
Yeah, that's a great point. Okay, any other final tips before we get into show wrap up here?
Don't touch the turtles, I think would be, if you see turtles resting, don't touch them. Don't try to take pictures and pose with them. If there's one thing that will get you on the bad side of the local population, it's that. And really, they are a protected species. So you can also end up in some legal trouble as well.
That's a great tip. Any other things, Kenny, now that you're local, that you can tell us on how to stay on the good side of the locals?
Yeah, I think the other one is don't try to speak pidgin. There's you know, it comes off as disingenuous, you know, even if you can do your best impersonation, it's not worth it. They don't expect it of you. So just enjoy and appreciate.
Got it. You said don't try to speak pidgin.
Pidgin. Yeah. Pidgin's kind of like the local language. It's actually it's a real language. A lot of people kind of treat it as slang, but it technically it is a real language with syntax and grammar rules. And it you kind of have to grow up learning it. I don't speak it because I know better.
Great point. We'll definitely keep that into mind. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us on the show today. And Steve, where can we follow up with you and hear more about the DCL podcast?
Yeah, if anybody's interested in talking some Disney Cruise Line with us, we do a lot of trip reports. And we just did a trivia show, had a little bit of fun with that. But yeah, you can find us on wherever you find your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, all that. It's a DCL podcast. Come on over and give us a listen. We'd love to have you.
And that is an excellent podcast, especially if you're looking for anything Disney Cruise Line. But I'm telling you, you can still get a nice pixie dust high tuning into his show. So kudos to Steve, Christy, and Chris on that platform. You guys do a great job there.
Thanks, Chad.
So Grant, how can people follow up with you?
So I'm a member of the MyDVC Points community group on Facebook. You can connect with me there. And I just want to take this opportunity to shout out to Chad and to Kenny for your hard work on the new MyDVC Points app. It's fantastic, and I look forward to using that in my future.
Yeah, thanks, Grant.
Thanks. And Kenny, where can people follow up with us at?
Well, they can follow up with us at the MyDVC Points community. Me specifically, if you're interested, you can follow up with me on the Code Blue Data Solutions Facebook page. I throw out tips and stuff for people that are working remotely, which I know is definitely become a reality for a lot of people. They're learning to work from home. And so I do share some tips on that as well.
Yeah, the other thing I'd like to point out as well is Ken does do custom app development. So if anybody listening to the show needs an app developer, you can go to the MyDVC Points app, and it's a great sample of his work because that thing is just really polished. It's solid. It's professional looking. And we put a lot of time and effort into it, and Kenny just really killed it as a coder. So I can't say enough things about his coding skills in Code Blue if anybody's looking for any kind of IT consulting work.
Thanks, Jeff.
And thank you guys for joining our show.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Mahalo and aloha as well. Thanks so much, Chad.
Well, that puts another episode in the books. And that wraps up our four-part series on Alani. I'd like to thank Brian Reed, Kevin Quigley, Stokes Laird, Andrew Darden, Roxanne Steele, Robert Campbell, Andy Berry, Sandy, Thomas, Ken Booth, Grant Peters, and Stephen Creasy. And a special shout out to Sandy for organizing the content, putting together the staff, doing the scheduling. It's a lot of work to bring this amount of people and this amount of knowledge together and present it to you in a podcast forum. And last but not least, a shout out to Samantha for putting together all of these wonderful show notes. I'd also like to thank DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, Monera Financial, and Incredible Vacation Homes for sponsoring Season 3 of the My DVC Points podcast. We've got about two more months in Season 3, and we're going to be going over to the Grand California next, having some personal interviews. We're also working on a show about estate planning and titling your DVC contracts. If you enjoyed the series and we've earned a five-star review, please give us one on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Now go out there and plan something magical for your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.